Now we'll restart class. So, why is Jesus' resurrection important?
Without it, our faith is futile.
Yes, definitely. Without it, our faith is just futile. Okay?
He promises. So, if he didn't promise it, that's what makes it so important. As well as the power of rising from the dead.
The pastor is constantly reminding us how God is a promise keeper. He makes the promises and he keeps the promises. Now, some of the promises are still coming, but his proven track record should then give us hope that they'll keep coming. So thus, since he said Jesus would be resurrected, then he also said what?
We will be.
Yes. Good tag team, husband and wife right there. Great. He also promised that as believers, we will be resurrected. And so, since we're still here on earth, that hasn't happened yet. Okay? Just in case you were wondering on that. Why else? Why else is resurrection important?
It essentially involves death.
Say it again.
It essentially involves death.
Pastor will link this in at the end of his message, but death has no power over us anymore as believers. Now, does that mean we will not die a physical death? No. We still will, okay? But there's no second death. There's no separation from God. Okay? What else does the resurrection do? That is a huge difference in every other religion. Every other religion. None of them have that in any way. Because they're false. And they have no power and they have no authority. Great. Good. Somebody else. Why else is resurrection important?
It also ended the old covenant, the old order, the old Mosaic.
Old covenant, which was okay, law, okay. New covenant now.
Law of Christ,
okay. In relationship with Him. John.
I know in my walk with seeking God earlier in my life, His resurrection was the cornerstone, was the faith that I needed. It was the spark that brought me to realization that how great God is and what He means to me.
It should get us excited. And so we typically talk about this at Christmas, at Easter on that, but it's something we need to talk about all the time. Resurrection, vitally important, foundational to our faith. Somebody else?
I think it's what ignited the disciples to be eyewitnesses to that resurrection. They knew that He had risen from the dead without a shadow of a doubt. And being eyewitnesses, seeing Him come
back and walk among them, and then ascending to heaven, all of that really gave them courage to go out there and say, this is the truth, and start preaching like Peter and all the others. Like we talked about last week, we'll talk about it today a little bit also. They didn't quite understand it, but as they experienced it, last week, this week, the next couple weeks, as they go through it, I definitely think it lights that spiritual fire within them to live out their faith.
It also sent the Spirit too. So whenever He ascended, the Spirit came down. So yeah. Without that, the Spirit would come.
Hold that. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're going to get to that with Mary here in a few minutes. And that's key.
If you think about the fact that from Adam all the way to Christ, there was prophecies and they fulfilled every prophecy.
Yep. Again, there's promises being fulfilled along the way. Good. Anybody else?
Jesus had spotless lamb. No one could take the sin out of the world except Him.
Yeah. He's the only one. Now, I know there's some of us in the room that think we're perfect. Okay? You might be married to one of them. No, you're not. You're sorry on that.
Thank you.
But He was that perfect sacrifice because He knew no sin. And so He was the only one to go through that whole process. Anybody else?
Well, I think then the author would reflect and think on what if resurrection did not happen where we see today. Like Paul said in 1 Corinthians, we're the dead. Because then we're just comparing, then we look at all the false religions, we're comparing ourselves, which one basically gives the most benefit, you know. So, to your point, you know, we actually do serve a living God who is risen. Not for that, the whole thing hinges on that.
Yeah, Paul's pretty clear there. We're wasting our time. If there's no resurrection of Christ, then we're just killing time. Let's all break camp and go do something different. But because he was resurrected and there's such evidence, so much evidence, to point to it and to prove it, we're not wasting our time. We're fulfilling our time.
You know, Mike, that's exactly the same message that I'm going to present to those kids today.
A little warm-up for you.
I get the opportunity to go to the detention center today to minister to those inmates there. Usually we have three to five kids, young adults. And so what drives me and my desire to do that is Christ's greatness, the resurrection of Jesus. It's all based. That's the cornerstone of our belief.
All right, let's go ahead and jump into our passage for today. We're going to pick it up at verse 11 and go through 18 in John chapter 20. And so somebody with a real loud voice, if you'll just go ahead and read those verses for us, if you don't mind.
So Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and then she wept. To look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher." Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you."
That's good. All right, great. Somebody go ahead and just give us a word of prayer. Just go ahead and kick us off as we jump in for the next few moments. Thanks.
Father, I thank you for this opportunity we have this morning to reflect on your word. I pray that you would grant us insight as we reflect, and that discussion that would be fruitful, that might lead to a multiplication of our faith. And about all these things, I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. All right, so anybody have any thoughts carry over from last week as we jump into the passage for today? Chris?
Yeah.
That was a setup.
I know.
He told me earlier, he goes, "Hey, I came across this." I was like, "I'll make sure that I give you a chance."
In verse 10, it says, "Then the disciples went home." But in the earlier text, it says that Jesus had told them to meet him in Galilee. Why would they have went home?
So I don't think that was like go home for an extended period of time. Mm-hmm. I think it was just like overnight, like a little minor, and then to go on that part. Is that okay with everybody?
Think about it.
What's that?
Think about it, because you're going to get ready to message.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I think that's what it was in there. Okay. Anything else? Jump out at anybody else. You might not have told me, but I will give you the chance too here. If you saw something or read something from last week into this week.
There's more temple and tabernacle architecture and furniture
Give us a little more taste of that, Troy.
So the two angels, one sitting at the head and one sitting at the feet. Where else in the Bible do we see two angels sitting on something that's furniture?
Pause for answer from somebody. Say it. Okay, good. Okay.
And also the two angels guarding the garden. Jesus is referred to the garden, so now you're able to enter the garden.
A lot of visual symmetry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Good. Somebody else. Anything that came about from last week to this week?
I find it interesting that Mary, who had been with him for much of the time he was teaching, that in the, I think it was the week before, which I wasn't here because I had been sick, but she had said to them somewhere, I was reading over, I do not know where they had laid him. I think that's verse 2 in chapter 20. And then again, she says kind of the same thing. They have taken away my Lord. This time, she's saying it to the angels. And so she doesn't really get it either. And of course, the disciples don't either. Yeah. She thinks someone else took it. You know, so it's kind of hard for us to imagine.
Yeah. When we read Scripture, we need to try to make sure that we put ourselves into their footsteps. The writer and who's receiving it and the characters that are going on there, because often it's easy for us to read back into it our knowledge and experience and history and breadth of the whole, you know, Bible, all 66 books. And still sometimes we don't see God and get God in our life day to day. So it's easy for us to throw people under the bus like Mary right here for not getting it. But I think they were still thinking about that human king coming in and rescuing them from the physical world and tyranny. And they hadn't quite connected all the dots yet. Now, sadly, often in today's world, we still have Christians that they still see Jesus to do that. You know, their expectation is that Jesus is going to save them from the physical tyranny of the world today. Now, sometimes he does, but they don't let him save them from the spiritual tyranny. They're like, no, God, I don't need you on the spiritual saving part. I'm going to heaven. I don't need that day to day. I just need you to help me on this physical stuff over here. And so, you know, we need to give them a little grace and mercy when they don't see it. But yeah, she's clearly not seeing it. But then what happens when he says, woman, there in verse 13?
She recognizes his voice.
Yeah. Then she does recognize his voice. Did you guys get any visual picture or think of another passage of Scripture that goes along with that for you? I did, but I just want to see if you did.
Doesn't Jesus call his own mother the woman at the...
There is that connection. I didn't see that one. But yeah, there is that connection. Okay, good.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. All
right, good. And then I also think, you know, thinking about our shepherd and, you know, his sheep will know his voice. You know, for us, you know, we need to be focused and listening. Mary wasn't at first, but then when he addressed her specifically, then she realized who he was on that. You know, we need to make sure that we're listening to God and hearing him. And again, here's where we give grace and mercy to Mary, because do we always hear God when he speaks to us?
No.
Does anybody? Thank you, Dad. One person honest in here. You know, I think we struggle from time to time hearing God and realizing if it's Him speaking to us or if it's us speaking to ourselves or if it's the world speaking into us on that.
The reason I say no is because a lot of times later on you realize,
yes,
you didn't listen.
Yeah, yeah. Hindsight's 20/20. You know, like they say, when you look back and you're just like, wow, yeah, I blew that, or by the grace of God, you know, I did okay on that part there. So I'm going to jump down to verse 17 there, And Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to the Father and your Father, my God and your God." Okay? What is Jesus saying to Mary there? Because this is probably the most contentious and differing opinions in these verses, is probably that verse. So what are some of the theories that maybe you've heard or ran across? Why is Jesus saying to her, "Don't keep clinging to me"?
Well, she wanted to keep the relationship that they had before. It reminds me what it said to Peter, get behind me. Satan, Jesus never went with healing. He went what the scripture said, and he had to fulfill his scripture.
So that's the end answer that I wanted us to come to. I figured somebody would come up with some of the other ones, like when he's saying he hasn't ascended yet, it's something about his body, and that she can't touch him, she could get hurt, and there could be all... There's lots of other little thoughts along those ways. I'm right there with what Patricia said, though. I think it was Jesus addressing Mary that by her clinging to him, that she wanted him to stay bound earthly. You know, she wanted him to stay here. So this is a good spot, Troy. Take us back to what you were saying a minute ago, though.
So without him, back in 14 and 15, when he was saying, "I must go away so another one could come," living with the Holy Spirit, he had to go away in order for that Spirit to come. And I just want to say, looking at the word cling, it means to fasten to, but it also says to set on fire. So, you know, you can probably allude to setting on fire the Pentecost as well. There's a fire motif there, theme. So
for the disciples and those that were around Jesus when he was here earthly, they experienced something great. But that was just in one person where he was at the moments he was. He didn't want that for all of us as believers to come. He wanted us to have his presence with us all the time. And so if he had stayed here, we would not have had that. You know, because God designed it from the beginning that the Holy Spirit, God the Spirit, would be able to be present with all of us as believers once Jesus paid the debt, once he went to the cross, once he had the resurrection. And so after his 40 days here on earth, then we're going to have what holiday? What event?
Ascension.
Okay, his ascension. And then what do we then call right after that? Acts 2 and Peter preaching. Okay, so you got the Pentecost there, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so that's where we all now have God with us every moment for the rest of technically eternity, because once we're in eternity, we'll be in the presence of God all the time on that. Chris?
Thinking about what's being said there is that unlike every other human being, it's saying that Christ's physical body is going to ascend in the physical body, and then there's going to be a transformation in glory when he's with the Father. That's something different than And again, no other religion in the world can claim that Christ went in a physical body to heaven, because he is the only pure body that can do that.
I'm going to dig through a little bit of what you're saying there. I can't quite get it all digested at the moment, but I agree with you on that his ascension was special. The rest of that, I'm going to have to process through that.
So he's the first human, you know, the first body in heaven. Before then, there was no body in heaven, so they went to the angel.
Exactly.
He's the first, but it's a new heaven. He's the first body in heaven. And the earth is new because the Spirit is now on the earth.
But what do you mean, a physical body, are you saying?
Right.
A physical body, the same
body. He's the first body in heaven. Sitting at the right hand of the Father, he's the first body. So nobody else went to heaven.
I'm going to have to work through that. I'm not going to agree or disagree at the moment. I want to, that's good for us to dig for this week. Correct, and I'm with you on all of that, but at the physical body part, I'm going to have to dig a little bit to see if that's, yeah. Good points to dig through. So we all have homework this week.
So he didn't change the second person of the Trinity. He has not changed. He's in human form.
But yet, he was the second person of the Trinity at the point of creation, though, also. So just because he's in physical form, incarnate versus not incarnate, I don't know that that changes him.
He's born under the law,
so,
lived a life, put to death, resurrected, ascended, and now he's the
ascension body. Part is key, but I don't know the bodily part on that. I'm going to dig. I'll dig on more of that. So they're not saying it was without dying. They're saying the body was the thing. That's their point of argument.
Elijah would have been in paradise, not heaven.
Yeah, so.
That one.
Yeah. But then you get in the whole presence of God, but yet the new heavens and new earth. So, yeah. Yeah, what's the, I'll have to dig through process on that.
I'm thinking that if that was the case and he had the same body, why didn't people recognize him then? It was exactly the same body.
That's not necessarily what they're arguing. It was that he took an earthly human body to heaven. And when we cover the talking to the two disciples, we'll dig into that.
But when he comes back in John, he's got a different form.
Yeah. We'll have to cover that in a minute. Let me pull that. Yeah, let's hold that. That was woo, yeah, that was great on that part. I did want us to stress though when we think about the Holy Spirit. Because as Baptists, do we like to talk about the Holy Spirit? Not as much as the Pentecostals. Okay, you know, back in the early 1900s, there was a revival at the Azusa Pacific. Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Derek. You guys got me thinking now, so I'm like distracted in my head. There was a festival. There was a movement of God of some sort. Basically, the beginning of the Pentecostal holiness movement got started at that point. And at that point, they went all in on the Holy Spirit. As Baptists, we tended to withdraw and say, well, we're going to go with two out of the three. We're going to go with God the Father and God the Son, and we'll focus on them, and we'll let you have the Holy Spirit. Instead of standing our ground on biblical foundation and say, you know, this is the Holy Spirit, and here's how he interacts, and we interact with him, we just kind of went like this. And so then for 50 plus 100 years as Baptists, anytime people started to talk about living in the Spirit and, you know, obeying the Spirit, being Spirit-filled, you know, things like that, we were like, ooh, you know, okay, I'm just going to, you know. But we need to understand that's exactly what we're supposed to be. You know, we have the Holy Spirit for a reason. You know, we have God with us for a reason, for that guide, you know, for that day-to-day, every moment presence of God. So we should be listening to the Spirit. All right? We should be filled with the Spirit. We should be living in the Spirit. Now, we do have to realize that even though some people pray for a fresh filling of the Spirit, they're really not asking for a fresh filling of the Spirit. Because why?
Because he's in that already. There's no way to fill us more.
Yeah. Now we know what they're praying for when they use that language, but yet align your prayer with biblical, you know, theology there. We don't need to pray for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. We need to pray that we get our flesh out of the Spirit's road and we quit trying to be in control and do everything ourselves and actually surrender daily to the Holy Spirit. That's what our prayer needs to be, not a fresh filling of the Spirit. Because if we pray for a fresh filling of the Spirit, it's kind of like we're saying, well, God messed up and he needs to fix it. Versus, no, I'm the one that shoots myself in the foot and I need to, you know, surrender and fix it on that part there. Okay? Well, potential maybe future elder Nate, you've been a little quiet today. You know, you got some thoughts you want to whip out on us here before we leave.
I'm just listening.
Just listening today.
Yeah.
Any other closing thoughts through anything in the passage? I know we just kind of hit some high points there. Something that jumped out at you this week that we didn't talk about. I want to give you a couple minutes here to bring them up.
To me, it was the fact that why did he appear to Mary? And I had to read so many times, because if this was a movie, it would be given to the disciples, right? They were the big guys, so they get the why the women. And then you find so much stuff, because she had seven demons, so he showed through that the amount of grace, or because he wanted to elevate women. But really, I got the idea that he appeared not only to her, but to the other woman before the man, and these women, they were with him through it, whereas the disciples were, they were hiding. I probably would be there too under the couch, but they were hiding, they were scared, they still had their eyes on the storm. These women, they were brave, and Mary, she was the one that left for last. I mean, she really had courage, her raw was just, you see through the text, so that caught my attention.
And I think that's a good point for us. Pastor will talk about it, he'll use different terminology, but when we look at men and women being created in the image of God, we're all equal in our creation. Now, he did create us with roles and responsibilities, okay? And so when we look at, who were the apostles, they were men. But yet women were around and they were deeply involved in what was going on. And so even though there are roles and responsibilities, we have to make sure, like Pastor says in the sermon, that we don't create a hierarchy of this false dichotomy that men are better than women. And sometimes, that comes across. And we have to make sure that we don't, we sniff that, nip that in the bud, as they say on that part here. And I think this is a good passage to prove that, the first people that Jesus engaged were ladies on that part. And so I think that's a good checks and balances for us, that we are all equal, but we do have roles and responsibilities within the household and within the church to follow through. One more person?
I just thought it was interesting with again, we see the compassion and caring of Jesus, and he didn't just leave Mary hanging out there weeping and distraught. He did come to her in her time of need and comfort her and talk her through her issue.
And I think that's a great example for us. God won't leave us hanging, If we engage him, if we go to him. So great point. We have a very compassionate God. Okay, so we're out of time. Great discussion. We'll have to do a little extra homework this week. We'll pick it up next week as Jesus appears to the disciples, 19 through 23. So go ahead and read through that and study on that. But then we'll have to think about the body stuff, and we'll break that down at the beginning of it. So somebody go ahead and give us a closing word of prayer.
Father, thank you for this opportunity to be here today. We pray that we will learn from what we hear. We pray for the upcoming services that people will be good listeners, and pastors will be led by the Holy Spirit, and his message will get out for everyone. Pray that if there's anyone in the congregation who don't know you as our personal Savior, that they will do that today. Be with us as we leave here today, and continue to lead us and guide us in all we say and do. Voice in your name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Great class. Thanks, everybody.